He is our healer, isn't he? He's here to heal. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm so grateful that the Lord hung on that cross on my behalf, in your behalf. Amen. And even after everything that they did to him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, when we sin, we don't really know what we're doing. If we understood how horrible it really is and how disgusting it is to the heart of God, we wouldn't do it. And so when someone sins willfully, it's because they are ignorant to what it really is and how horrible it really is. And those who crucified Christ, amen, and it was our sins as well that put him on the cross, they didn't know. He said, Father, forgive them. He said, give them grace. Give them an opportunity. Remove the veil from their eyes. Give them an opportunity to see themselves in light of your holiness, that they would repent and be forgiven. So Jesus shed his blood for the unworthy, in the sense that all of us had sinned and fallen short. We were actually enemies to God. You know, most of us, even when we were really deep in it, would probably agree with ourselves, I'm not that bad of a person. Right? I mean, if we did a self-evaluation back in the day, we would have probably said, well, at least I'm not as bad as Joe over there. Yeah, I'm pretty bad, but I'm not that bad, so I'm sure the scale will go in my favor when I see Jesus that day, you know, whether if you even believe that or not. But, you know, we are good at justifying ourselves. But, you know, the grace that saves us is not the grace that we give ourselves. The grace you give yourself will not save you. It's the grace that God alone gives. So we need to humble ourselves, amen? And be honest with God, confess our sins and turn away from ourselves. And we'll find mercy at the cross. Amen. We'll find mercy and grace. Amen. But if we justify ourselves or if we pretend to be what we're not, we won't become what we should be. So we've got to have honest hearts before God. Amen. Be authentic. Be real. There's no secrets. And I don't know about you, but there's areas in my life that need change. And I'm open for that. How about you? Amen. Amen. How many are here because you want to be changed today? Amen. 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 We came here really, most importantly, we came here because we wanted to be together with God's people, right? Because Jesus said, whenever two or three gather, right? I'm in your midst. But we wanted to give God the praise and glory together. Amen. And the Lord is delighting in you and I today. Did you sense that? The Lord is smiling on us today. Yeah. Just know that God loves you, and he loved you first. I love you first. Never tell somebody that. I love you. I say, I love you more. We tell God, you know, I love you. He says, I love you more. But how many here really love God's presence? I mean, he's just hungry and thirsty for his presence. How many know that God wants your presence too? Amen. You know, the people of this world need to meet real Christians, authentic Christians. When I was in the world, I met a lot of people that said they were Christians, but I didn't want what they had, you know. But there were some authentic Christians, man. And I'll tell you what, the light was on pretty bright. And even though it was like I didn't really want to get too close to them because they creeped me out in a way, but I knew that they had something greater than what I had. And there was an authenticity about their life. They lived their life, you know. They were real. They weren't perfect, but I knew that there was something greater in them. And there was a manifestation of God's presence through their life, and the light was on. And that's what we all need to be, folks. We need to be that light, amen? We need to be that salt. We need to live so close to Jesus that we're just going to reflect Jesus to this world. People need to see him, amen? Yeah, amen. So, well, I'm happy to be here with you, and thank you for coming today. Are you glad you didn't listen to that other voice? Yeah, that we got to deal with that dude, don't we? We got to just put him in his place every day and say, no, I may physically not want to do something, but I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Amen. If sometimes you got to stay home because you're sick, but, you know, There's other times that we can just let the spirit of laziness. I think there's a demon called spirit of laziness, you know. They want to get on you. I just sleep in this morning. You'll be fine. And they're just laughing when you do, because they're saying, well, we just robbed them of what God had for them today. How many know that when we get together, there is a sharing of God's life? Amen. That you are actually receiving, and you should be also transmitting the life of Christ together. And together we're like little clouds that come together to form a big cloud of His glory, of His presence. Inhabits His people, inhabits His church. We are the body. We are the expression of Jesus in the earth together corporately. And, you know, it's true that when we leave these walls, or we are entering the mission field. Amen. I remember a church I was a part of years ago. They had that over the door. We ought to put it up here, too. You are now entering the mission field. Amen. But there's also a mission field here, you know. And how many would agree that I've been a mission field before, at least once in my life? How many would agree, say, I'm still a mission field today?
Amen.
Yeah. God's still trying to get through, amen, to areas. And you know, we're complex beings, folks, and only the Holy Spirit knows how to deal with us, really. You know, there's no blanket statement that's going to fix all. But the Holy Spirit is wise, and He knows what we need, and He knows how to get through the facades. He knows how to get through the hardness. He knows how to wake us up. I just thank God that He does wake us up. Our Heavenly Father, He desires intimacy with us. You know, He wants us to enjoy fellowship with Him. Mankind is a worshiper, would you agree? Everybody worships. Everybody worships something or someone. We're worshiping nouns, you know, people, places, and things. You and I will worship what we adore. We will worship what we fear. We will worship what we value. You know, we worship what we trust. You know, some people worship their money because they trust in their money, right? Some people worship their car because they value their car. And they'll spend all kinds of time on that car just polishing it, you know, and doing the wheels and, you know, you're paying homage to that, you know, Maserati, whatever you're driving. Ford Pinto. Anyways. But we worship. That was my kind of car. Ooh, yeah. Anyways, as long as it drove, I was happy, you know. But we all worship. We all worship something. And the enemy is constantly trying to get us to worship him. And he doesn't jump out in that red suit and the horns and tail and say, I'm the devil, come worship me. Right? No, he doesn't do that. He's quite smart. He's not stupid, folks. Like I hear some preachers say, oh, he's stupid. The devil's so stupid. He's not stupid. That's a stupid statement. You know, he's wise and in the sense that he knows he's crafty. And he knows how to wiggle his way in and get us to worship him through other things. He knows that if we will bow down to something or someone other than God, then he's stolen the worship that God deserves. God deserves worship because, first of all, God made us. We're his creation. And he loves us. And as a good father, he wants fellowship with his children. And worship is really loving God back. Isn't it? It's loving him back. It's not all just singing about, it's not just singing songs about God. It's part of it. We can sing about the Lord. We can sing to the Lord. Amen. That's worship. But there's so much more than that. It's our life. The expression of our life. How do I live my life? Do I live my life unto the Lord? Or do I live it unto myself? See, if the enemy can't get you to worship a person, a place, or a thing, then he'll get you to worship yourself. I'm my own God, people say. I bow down to no one but me. Well, the enemy has also accomplished what he set out to do. If he can get you just to be all full of yourself, you know, and focus on yourself and spend all your attention and your focus on yourself. But if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you're going to have to deny yourself. God designed us specifically for Himself. That's why, that's who we are. That's why we're here. We're here for Him. We're here to represent Him in this world. We're here to represent Him as ambassadors, representing the kingdom government of heaven on the earth. Revelation 4 and verse 9 says, whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. By Your will they exist and were created. By His will, you and I exist and were created. For Him, we live. And a relationship has to be consensual. It has to be a choice that we make. Otherwise, it would be forced. Amen? It would be a form of slavery. I mean, you know that God doesn't want slaves. He wants sons and daughters. He wants a bride. He wants a relationship with us. And so He set us free through the broken body and blood of His Son to bring us into fellowship in the Spirit with Him, to enjoy the Lord. How many have discovered that the Lord really is good? That it's a delight to be with Him. This choice has got to be personal, folks. It's got to be a desire that we have. If the Holy Spirit is in you, then you will have a desire for Him. You cannot have the Holy Spirit in you and not desire fellowship with the Father. Because He connects us. We become one in Him. Galatians 4:6 says, because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. This is very personal, amen? Now, a slave in that day could not call their master Abba, Father, or Abba. That was only specifically to the heir, amen? The household, they could call him Abba. And so if we are in Christ, if the Spirit of His Son is in us, then the desire is to call out Abba, Father. As sons and daughters and not as slaves that are just kind of there to do work. But God calls us higher. He calls us to fellowship. Isn't that amazing? It's not about just doing for God. It's walking with God. It's living in God. You get the difference, right? Under the law, it was doing for God. In the Spirit, it's walking with Him in new life. Expressing Him in all places. As we abide in Him, He abides in us, and we are able to reflect His image, His glory into the world. If His Spirit is in us, then there is a desire in us for fellowship with Him. So you got to make sure that you are in Christ today. That we're not just doing some religious thing or some religious duty, but we are really in Christ. Romans 8 and verse 8 says, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but in verse 9 it says, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you're not His property. You've got to make sure you have the Holy Spirit in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? And if His Spirit is in us, then that Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. Worship. You give glory and you give honor. As the elders, the 24 elders, fall down on their face before God. They fall down before Him, casting their crowns at His feet. They worship. Heaven, all of heaven worships Him who sits on the throne. How much more us here, mere humans, amen? How we should be worshiping and adoring our Creator. Amen. And enjoying fellowship with Him in the Spirit. God desires you and me. We all know this so well, but John 4:23, Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in for the Father is seeking such to worship." Now, that word seek means to desire after. The Father is actually seeking you and me. He's desiring us. He's desiring us. Do we desire Him? We love His presence, but He loves our presence too. But we have to give ourselves back. You know, I heard Annie talk about this on Thursday night. We had a little get together and we were talking about, well, she was giving an illustration of, you know, how the old bench seats years ago, you know, the pickups with the bench seats of the cars, and you could sit with your girlfriend, you know, or your boyfriend, right? And I didn't have a boyfriend, by the way, but you could sit with your girlfriend and, you know, on those bench seats, and you're driving and, you know, you'd have your girl right beside you, right? And then a couple years down the road, you know, it seems like things are kind of getting a little more distant. And after about 10 years now, she's on the other side of the, you know, the other side of the cab. What happened? And the point was, is that the person sitting in the passenger side says, "How come we don't sit together anymore?" And the driver says, "Well, I haven't moved." God is in the driver's seat, amen, and we need to pull up to Him. He doesn't move. We need to draw near to Him, and what? He'll draw near to us. Now, in Psalms 46, in verse 10, we all are very familiar with this, but I want to look at it today. "Be still," it says. "Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." How is God going to be exalted in the earth? Folks, He's going to be exalted through His people, His representatives here in the earth. God desires those who love His presence and, hear it, present themselves back to Him. Do you understand? Our desire is to present ourselves back to Him now. Not just do some Sunday morning thing, but to daily walk with Him, to stay close to Him inside the cab, if you will. Yeah. Amen. We're sticking to Jesus here. Amen. And He's not the one that slides. Amen. We have to be careful that we don't. Now, let's take a look at this. That word "be still" means to settle down. Or someone said to turn the volume down. Be still and know that I'm God. It means to settle down or turn the volume down. Sometimes our lives are so hectic, so loud, so noisy, so busy. You know, folks, we've got to take the time to shut it all off, sit down, soak, if you will, in the presence of the Lord and get regenerated, get renewed, get refreshed. Amen. The enemy can keep you busy. Sometimes there's things we got to take care of, but other times the enemy's just offering you alternatives to that. Keeping you preoccupied with things that in light of eternity have no eternal significance. You can spend hours and hours endlessly on surfing the net or watching television or just spending yourself on things that don't have any eternal value. And the enemy is good at presenting those options. He wants to keep us preoccupied, and He wants to keep us separated from fellowship with God. Why? Because, again, when we worship things, we worship people, we worship places other than God, He's receiving worship through that. He's diverted the worship away from the Creator to Himself. You see how He works? And so because we were created to worship, we have to be very careful, as the commandment says, not to have any other gods before Him. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Now, to know that I am God means it's more than just I agree God exists. It means an experiential knowledge of Him. That means someone that has had communion with God. Someone who, you know, knows him beyond just an intellectual knowledge of him, but they know him experientially. You know, you can read a textbook about somebody that may even be still alive in the earth, and you can get a lot of information about that person, but you can never really know that person personally unless you are in fellowship with them personally. You get that? And so, you know, the Word of God is awesome, you know. It points us to the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we can read the Bible and we can get information, or we can read the Bible and that information will point us to a person, to where we have an experience or an encounter with him that produces transforming life in us. He is a life-giving spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Man, it's not about striving and trying harder. It's about his presence, loving his presence, and allowing God to have us, presenting ourselves back to him. We love his presence. He loves your presence. He desires your presence, your fellowship. And sometimes, folks, you can walk throughout your day, amen, whatever you're doing, you can have communion with God. But there's a time when you just got to turn it off and settle down, amen, and be still. Turn the volume down. Get in his presence and enjoy him. And I find that, you know, the Lord is like my battery. Sometimes they get low. How about you? And God just says, you're doing too much stuff, but you're not doing the more needful thing. We'll get into that, right? Now, hear this. When we become proud, we stop seeking the Lord. When we become proud. When we are no longer seeking the Lord, it's a sign that we are proud. I hope I made somebody mad when I said that. I hope I offended some flesh in here this morning. But it's a sign of arrogance, pride, when we don't sense a need for him. And it really means that I am back to the place where I'm worshiping myself and I'm Lord of my own life, my own destiny. And I may give God my leftovers or my seconds. But how many know that God doesn't want your seconds? He wants your first. He wants to be first in our lives. He doesn't want us putting other things or other gods before him. Now let's take a look at this in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 3. This is a young 16-year-old. Are there any 16-year-olds in here? Or some getting close to that? Can you imagine these guys over here becoming kings? Wouldn't that be awesome, guys, if you became a king at 16 years old? Yeah? I don't know if it'd be awesome for us, but it'd be awesome for you, right? I'm kidding. If God places you, he anoints you, he can use you. Amen? And God did use this man of Uzziah. Let's take a look at this. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. He had a long reign. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And verse 4 says he did what? What was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And look at this, verse 5. I love this. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Learn from that. As long as you seek him, as long as you walk with him, God will bless you. God will prosper you. How many know it means more than just money? But God will bless your life, because to have him in your life is to be extremely blessed. To be in right standing with God is to be extremely blessed. Even when things don't go our way, we're still extremely blessed because we have him. If we have him, we have everything. You have everything in him. You don't have to covet anybody's silver or gold because we have everything in him. My father owns all the silver and the gold. So I don't need to covet silver and gold. Amen? We're going to be walking on it in heaven. It's not about that. It's not about what we get from God. It's not about him handing us stuff. It's about us knowing him, a relationship with Him. It's not about seeking His hand. It's about seeking His face. I want to get into His face. I want to know Him. I want to hear Him. I want to see Him. I want to feel Him. I want to know Him. I want to walk with Him. How about you? I desire to know Him more. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, he prospered. God gave this man victory after victory over his enemies. He made him famous even. And this man, Uzziah, became very strong. But when he became strong, it says, look at verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. So when everything was going his way and he became famous and he became strong and he became prosperous, it says that he quit seeking the Lord to his destruction. You understand, folks, if we disconnect with Him, it can destroy your soul. The enemy is waiting for you to wander off from the fold, to wander off from fellowship with God's people, and to quit seeking Him. You know, as long as a plant is growing, it's living. If a plant stops growing, it begins to die. It's just the way it is. We're either going to grow and flourish in Him, or we're going to start to wilt. And Jesus said in John 15 that if you do not abide in Me, you're going to be like that branch that withers. I mean, I've discovered that happens. If we don't stay close to the Lord, we start to wither. And the next thing you know, all these other voices start getting louder than the voice of the Lord. And they start discouraging you and talking you into a corner and you know, and keeping you away from fellowship. And how many have had that happen? That other voice, you know. And there's actually many voices sometimes that are trying to get through to us. But if you stay close to Jesus, how many know that Jesus is just going, poof, out of here. You're not welcome here. This one belongs to Me. Really, and if you take a look at Uzziah's life, you know, when he got prosperous, instead of worshiping the Lord, he started to worship himself. That's what we do, folks. When we turn away from God, and when we become, often when we become strong, we become proud. And when we become proud, we start to worship self. We start to think, even sometimes, folks, to our destruction, we start to get to a point where we think we're better than other people. I'm doing so good. I'm prosperous. I got it all together. What's wrong with these scumbags over here? We start comparing ourselves. How many know if God blesses you, He deserves the glory for it? Amen? Because I used to be one of those scumbags. And I thank God that He looked on this scumbag and said, you know what? I want him. I love him. I shed my blood for him. And I'll take that scumbag and I'll make him into something good. Amen? There's an old song we used to sing, something beautiful. Some of you looked at me and said, I don't know about good, but yeah. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. And He made something beautiful out of my life. That song still touches my heart today. It's one of the songs that we were singing when I came to Jesus, you know. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, and He made something beautiful out of my life. Amen. So when you see Omer after the service today, say, Omer, you're beautiful, man. Yeah. Jesus makes you look good, brother. Amen. He makes us look good. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, even church fellowships, you know, when things start to go good, things are smooth, you know, everything's on cruise control. You know, we have to be careful that we don't stop seeking the Lord or assume that I don't need to pray because somebody else will pray. And those demons are out there working on 100 people at the same time and saying, you don't need to pray. So-and-so will pray. And if we're all listening to the wrong voice, guess what? Nobody's praying, and the walls of protection are coming down, amen? And the portals of hell are opening up. And things start to get stinky real fast. And so, even as a church, as God blesses us, and as we're doing good, if you will, we have to be even more vigilant to stay close to God. Stay, amen, next to the driver. Stay in close fellowship with Him, because God wants us close to Him. Because that's the only place of security. The only place of comfort. The only place where we can have peace of heart and peace of mind, even in a supernatural peace, that even though things may be collapsing around us, there's a supernatural ability that God gives to hold us and to lift us up above our situation. God's there to help you through it. And He doesn't want you just to turn to Him when things go wrong. How would it be in a marriage that every time you talk to your spouse is when you needed something? That's not very good. Amen. Honey, I need some money. I got to go shopping. Yeah. And you are, you know. Have we met? I mean, you know, you want to enjoy each other's company, right? Just ask Heisuk. She enjoys me all the time. So, all right. Say amen. Make me feel good. So. Now, I did say be transparent, right? So, okay. Be authentic. Yes. She keeps me humble. But you know, sometimes we don't even have to talk. We just like to be together. You know what I'm saying? When you know somebody, you don't have to always be chat. It's just like, let's just hang out together. You're in the room. You know, you'll be over there knitting or whatever, and she doesn't knit, but you know, I'm going to be over here reading a book or something. You know, that's we're just together. You know? Everywhere I go, He's with me. You know, I want to be with Jesus. I want to hang out with Him. And you know, and I know that there's times when He'll interrupt silence and all of a sudden the Lord will speak. He'll drop something in on you and say, where did that come from? I wasn't expecting that. God will speak to us like that. It wasn't your thought. You see, you just say, where did that come from? But it was inspired. It was life-giving. It's God speaking. And then the Lord is there too in the silence saying, hey, I'd like to hear from you. Amen. Let's pray. Let us pray. Let us seek Him. Let us call on Him. Let us ask, seek, and knock. Let us come into His presence. Come into His presence with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. So what happened is Uzziah got strong. He got arrogant. He fell away to his own destruction. And it says, he transgressed against the Lord his God by entering the temple of the Lord, verse 16, to burn incense on the altar of incense. So what happens then is when we begin to fall away from God, we start doing what we think is good in our own eyes. We'll do it our way. I kind of like church to be this way. And oh, you like, well, your preference is that kind of church and that kind of worship and that kind of style. And that we start just doing stuff our way. Sometimes we're so busy doing stuff for God. God's saying, when are you going to allow me in? You know, you can get busy doing stuff for God, but yet not be walking with God. And how many know that anything is done out of my own heart that's not in agreement with His heart is wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be burned up. It's useless. Amen. It's a dead work. But whenever I'm listening for the voice of the bridegroom, I'm listening to the Lord's voice and He speaks and He says, I want you to do something. Oh, Lord, I'm in bed right now. I don't want to get up right now. Or He says, I want you to call somebody and I don't know. They're probably going to chew me up one side and the other and just call them. Have you ever heard that voice where you just feel like I haven't talked to this person so long, you're afraid they're going to chew up for not talking to them? And so you just kind of hold back and you say, well, I'm not going to call them. We got to be careful that we're listening to the voice of the Lord, because his words are living. They're powerful. When God speaks, it's life-giving. And when we come into agreement with what the Lord is saying, and we begin to do what He's telling us to do, Wayne was talking about in Sunday school this morning about stretching forth your hand. You know, the man that had the withered arm, he said, well, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched forth his hand, and it was made well. He had to hear the word of God first, and he had to activate that faith by actually doing something he couldn't do. But God told him to do it, so he could do it. He believed what God said, so by faith he stretched out his hand, and then he was made well. And that's the way it is in our lives. When God speaks to us, He's giving us an opportunity to experience Him and have an encounter with Him. Do we listen? Do we have a relationship that is consensual, that is back and forth, that I'm not coming to God with my list of dues, but I'm coming to God because I just want to be with Him? You know what, folks? We should have that desire in our hearts for fellowship with Him. If the Holy Spirit of God is in us, then that Spirit cries out. Amen? For Him. It's like the deer that pants for the water brooks, right? So my soul longs after Thee. You know, I thirst for You, the living God. And because He's our bread now, He's our life now, we realize that without Him we can do nothing. Uzziah became strong. He became arrogant. He quit seeking the Lord to his own destruction. But as a result of that, he got into a bad place to where he thought that because God has given me all these victories in the past, that that's a guarantee of the future. See, sometimes we think because, oh, I'm doing so good, and I've been a good Christian today, and I've had a victory, and or we just got out of church, and we're just like feeling really good right now, full of the Spirit, and just got a good meal, hopefully. And then we get out there and we say, well, I'm good. I'll see you maybe next week. If I don't listen to the other voice, that is. And we can run out of gas. We can begin to wilt, because we go by that and we don't have a personal connection. It's like the 10 virgins. Remember the 5 foolish virgins and the 5 wise? The wise had oil, right? They had an extra supply of oil, but the foolish went to the wise when the bridegroom came, which represents Jesus' return, and they said, give us some of your oil. And they say, we can't do that. You have to go to the source yourself. Well, guess what? It was too late for them to go to the source. This is what the lesson is, that we have to have a relationship with the Lord to where we are receiving of Him personally what we need. You cannot live off your wife's experience or your husband's experience or your brother or your sister. You cannot live off other Christians. There are some people in the church that they just go from one person to the next. Everybody has to kind of keep them pumped up and going, amen, then they're trying to actually borrow oil from everybody around them. But if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, you're not going to be there when the bridegroom comes. You're not going into the chamber. You've got to know that you have a relationship with Him. It's consensual, and that it's a give and take. It's I'm in covenant with Jesus, amen. That's what communion's all about. I'm in covenant with Him. I'm married to Him. Everything that I have now is His. Everything He has is mine. I don't need, amen, whatever other people have. I need what God has for me. And in fellowship, you're going to receive what others have for you, but don't let that be your only source. Is that making sense today? How many remember the story of Samson? I'm not going to get into it, but Samson made the mistake of thinking, just like Uzziah, that I've had all these victories, life is good, I'm strong. And though he's compromising and he's sleeping with Delilah, you know the story, a prostitute, and he's thinking, well, I'm still whooping butt over here, and yet I'm having this affair with Delilah, and everything seems to be going pretty good thus far. And he began to assume, because he had past victories, that that was going to sustain him in the future. And he began to drift away from God. He quit seeking the Lord. And then, of course, what happened is suddenly he lost his anointing and he was taken over by his enemies. Folks, we got to be wise and learn from the examples of others. Amen. King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, he made the same mistake. He became prospered. He was blessed. He was anointed of God. And then he quit seeking the Lord. And as a result, he lost his kingdom. You know, he had a weak moment. He went to the witch of Endor. Amen. Called up the spirit of Samuel. You know how it goes. And he was rebuked. And he was judged because of his rebellion against the word of the Lord. God had told him to go in. Amen. In 1 Samuel 15. Destroy Amalek, right? Was it? Yeah. And all that he had, and he disobeyed the word of the Lord. And so he lost his kingdom. He assumed that because of his past victories, it was a guarantee of his future success. Do you understand that you're not there until you get there? Jesus said, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. There are many people who have begun well, but have become shipwrecked in the faith. There are many people that should be in church this morning who are not because they became strong, they had victory, and they began to trust in their past victories, and they got proud. And once we get proud, we're in a place where the enemy can then take us out. You stick your head up, he's going to take it off. If you humble yourself, God says, I'll exalt you. Amen. In other words, I am leaning on, trusting in his provision of grace for my life. His power in my life is what sustains me. I don't have what it takes to overcome the devil. I don't have what it takes to overcome this world. I need the ability that only God supplies. I need the oil of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My life needs to be filled with Jesus in order for me to overcome or endure all the things. Remember, God warned Israel about the dangers of departing from him in Deuteronomy 6:10. This is just before they went into the land. He said, listen, it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things, sounds like America today, which you did not fill, hone out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full. When you are eaten and are full, then beware. When you are eaten and are full, then beware. Lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. How many times have we all gotten humbled and all gotten serious with God and we started seeking God because we know we need God because I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills. I don't know about this health problem. So we're seeking the Lord. We're drawing near to God. We're receiving of His Spirit. Our lives become blessed. We become strong and God begins to, you know, to take care of these things in our lives. And then if we're not careful at that point, we can become apathetic. We can become complacent. Then we can begin to let our relationship slide. Is it making sense? And then as a result of that, the enemy is just waiting to take you out. You don't need to pray. And he sends his little imps to you and says, yeah, not today. You're fine. You can go on last week's bread. You don't need to get bread every day. You can just, you know, that snack you had on Sunday will sustain you just well. Hopefully you're getting some prime rib today, but we're getting something. Amen. God's feeding us, but it's so that we will learn, grow up and learn how to feed ourselves and learn how to receive an anointing from the Lord ourselves. Amen. We can't depend on the guy up in the pulpit, whoever he is, you know, laying hands on us and no, God, do it for me, you know, through somebody else. No, God says you come to me. This is a time when we have people lay hands. I have people lay hands on me at times in a good way. And there's other times, you know, you just need to go to the source yourself. You got to go right to the source. He's our source. Hallelujah. You got to know him. And I want to say one more thing, okay? Maybe two. If a lamp isn't filled with oil, this is a test. It will burn for a season, but what will happen? Eventually the fire will what? Go out. Amen. So if the lamp isn't checked regularly, it will run out unexpectedly. If you don't check your lamp, your vessel, regularly, if you aren't in regular fellowship with the Father and in His Word, then what happens is your lamp can go out unexpectedly. And then in the day or in the evil day or when the enemy comes against you, he waits for the opportune time to let yourself go. He's waiting. And then he'll hit you then. Have you discovered that to be the truth? When we get proud, then we don't seek God. We don't think we need to. We start to let things slack. And then he comes and he hits you. You got to be armored up. You got to put God on as clothing every day. You got to be on the full armor of God. Amen. Abide in him. Abide in Christ. So don't let your fire go out. Keep feeding on him. Keep building yourself in the Lord. You got to build yourself, folks. You got to be in this word. Amen. Get this word in your heart, man. Get the light on, you know. Find out what God says about it. So that I'm not being wise in my own understanding and say, well, my opinion is. We all have opinions, but we need to know what, but what does God say? And then let the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, teach you. Let him be your teacher. The only way that you're going to get your lamp, you know, refilled is to worship. Intimacy with God. The King is requiring our presence every day. Actually, he requests our presence because it's not a forced thing. It needs to be a consensual relationship. So he's requesting our presence. David said this, King David, in Psalms 27, verse 8. When you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. How many times has God said, seek my face? Have we listened? Are we listening? Do we understand how serious this is a matter? If we're going to endure to the end, you've got to know him. You've got to abide in him. You've got to walk with him. You've got to keep your oil. Amen. Keep oil in your lamp. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Put on the clothing of God, the armor of God every day. And when God says, seek me, put everything else, turn the volume down, get into his presence, amen? Get refreshed. Don't let the devil lie to you anymore. Jesus said, when I return to the earth, will I find faith? He asked that question. When I return, will I find faith on the earth? We're living in the last days, you know it. Don't have to tell anybody that anymore. We all know things are happening very quickly in our world. We've got to get ready. Amen? We want to be the faithful ones. When he comes, he says, we're not skipping a beat because you're already walking with him. You understand? It's not, am I going to be ready? It's like, I know where I stand with the Lord. We have this relationship. I'm not worried about my soul. I'm not worried about the bomb. Amen? To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. We have relationship, and it's consensual, and he's requesting our presence every day. Come into his presence. Pray. Seek him. Worship him. Come with thanksgiving. Come with gratitude. Come with an offering of your lips, the fruit of your lips, giving praise, giving thanks to his name. Speak to the Lord. Come before him and bring words, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord.